If you have a Bible, we would love to invite you to join with us in Philippians chapter 2 as we talk about Father's Day. Happy Father's Day for you, to you, to those around you. If you are not a father yet, we feel like these are what we're going to look at today is helpful for you to learn these things up front. And if you are not a father because you're a lady, we would tell you these are things that you can help your husband and your sons and those around you to do. I always talk about this when I do marriage, do wedding ceremonies. That one of the things that God has called the husband to do is to lead and to serve, and one of the things that God has called the wife to do is to love and to respect and to help. When God created Adam and Eve, He created Adam first, and then He said He couldn't find a suitable helper for him, so He created Eve. And every man and woman knows that every man needs help, right? You leave a guy alone for very long, and it goes bad. It's not good. It's a bad thing. And so God has created, given us wives for His glory and to help us because we are in desperate need of help. And so, ladies, I would encourage you, if you don't feel like the dad life sermon, Father's Day sermon is not for you. I think it's for all of us to learn what God would have us to do. So if you like to take notes, you can grab this and we will be walking through Philippians. We're going to do all the scripture up front, all right? Philippians 2, Psalm 78, Colossians 3, Ephesians 6, and then we'll kind of flesh that out, what we find in these passages from the Lord this morning. So Philippians 1, and again, this is not inherently just for fathers. He says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, and these are all rhetorical statements, Paul thinks, and you do, okay? You can kind of read into these statements, and you do. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, and you do. If you have any comfort from His love, you do. Any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, and being one in spirit and in purpose or mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, or to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. He made Himself nothing. He emptied Himself for our sake. Great understanding there. Psalm 78. I want to see these as well. Looked at these on Mother's Day also. Things that you have heard and known that our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, but will tell the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children. Why? So that they would put their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Again, he's all this idea here that we established a testimony in Jacob. Our fathers were commanded to teach their children, the next generation, even the ones that haven't been born yet, so that they would put their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but would keep His commandments. Colossians chapter 3. It says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now that's some parent, that's going to be your favorite Bible verse ever from here on out, right? Like, Colossians 3 says, obey your parents in everything because it pleases God. All right, but kids are like, dadgummit. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Don't pick on your children, lest they become discouraged. And then Ephesians chapter 6, another one. Children, which we're all children, okay? Anyway, in case you forgot that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. All right, this is not about parenting, but kids, it says here, which again, we're all kids, honor your parents that it may go well with you, right? Because if you don't honor your parents, it might not go real well with you. Maybe you had a parent that it didn't go well with if you didn't honor them. Fathers, verse 4 is really what we're getting to. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. All right, a lot of scripture here, and I really just kind of want to boil all this down into two real big points. Dads, okay, specifically dads, men also, but dads in particular. I think there's two things, the two greatest things that the Bible calls us to as dads is to lead and to serve, okay? Two things I think the Bible very clearly calls us to as dads is to lead and to serve. So I want to talk about how we're supposed to lead and how we're supposed to serve. And I pray that you're encouraging that and challenging that as we walk through these ideas this morning. So lead, okay? What does it mean to lead? I do believe the Bible is very clear that God has given you men and you dads the responsibility, primary responsibility, to lead your families to the Lord and lead your families in the ways of God. That doesn't mean God hasn't given women also the responsibility to lead others to the Lord. But I think that primarily in the home, first priority, the first responsibility is on you dads to lead your wives and lead your children to the Lord and in the ways of the Lord. So how are we going to do that? How are we going to lead our families in the way? Well, the first way we got to understand it, we lead as we follow Jesus, okay? So we do lead, but we don't just lead anywhere, okay? It's not like, well, I'm the leader of my house, so I'm going to lead my family. Well, where are you leading them to? I don't know, but I'm leading them, all right? That's where are you leading? You know, yeah, lead, but where are you leading to? Are you leading to financial security? Are you leading to better life than you had it? Are you where are you leading? Because all those, I would tell you, if you aren't careful where you're leading to, then you could be leading to a dead end. Or you could be leading off a cliff. So we lead, but we lead as we follow Jesus. We want to lead our wives and lead our children, lead our community, lead our church well, but we lead them as we follow Jesus. Otherwise, and who knows where we're leading? Who knows where we're going? So let's be careful that as we lead, we don't just, I'm the man and I'm the leader and that's what I do and that's who I am. Good, okay? But where are you leading people to? Leading them to down a dead-end road? Are you leading them in a path of destruction? And we want to lead, but we lead as we follow Jesus, okay? Be real careful to make sure that as you lead your family, as you lead your children, as you lead those around you, you are following Jesus as you lead so that we'll know where we're going, all right? Otherwise, we might lead to a bad place. Second thing to think about as you lead, men, is we want to lead with gentleness and with meekness, all right? Gentleness and meekness. We live in a culture that is not a big fan of masculine men leading well, all right? We live in a lot of ways, the men in our culture have not become the men that God has called us to be and to do. And so the natural response to that for you guys and me as well is we see the world, we see men not really being men, and so we go, I don't want to be like that, so we kind of go in the other ditch. And you see a lot of guys that maybe are leaders, yet they don't lead with gentleness, they don't lead with meekness. We lead with a iron fist, or we browbeat, or we lead with sternness. And I would tell you, if you think that being a husband, being a father, being a leader of your house and in this community, if you think that you're going to do that and represent Christ and do that with sternness and do that with an iron fist, I would tell you, you haven't seen the characteristics that God calls you to in the Bible as a man and as a dad and as a husband, right? That really the words that you see in Jesus, we see really throughout when Paul is encouraging men and dads, you see this idea over and over again, gentleness. Gentle. Doesn't mean you aren't resolute. You can be resolute and be gentle at the same time. Not stern, not harsh, not do what I say because I said it. None of that. We lead, but we lead with gentleness. We're careful how we lead those around us. And we do it with meekness. And again, meekness doesn't mean weakness. Meekness means power under control. We got a dog this 2 weeks ago, all right? I like dogs. I don't love dogs, okay? But I love my wife who loves dogs. So we got a dog because my wife and my kids wanted a dog. And so we have a dog, and it's great, I guess. except she sleeps in the bed with us and she scratches me sometimes, and I don't like that. But if you got a dog, what do you got to do? You got to wrestle with it, right? I mean, I think you have to do that. I'm in the floor wrestling with the dog. It's licking me. I hate it. My kids like it. But sometimes the dog gets a little out of control, right? And Maggie, she has a human name. She'll bite a little too hard, or she'll scratch a little too hard. And so I thought about this this week when I was in the floor with her. She's scratching and biting, and you know, she's a Boston Terrier, by the way. I mean, it's like you could, yeah, I know. It's not even a real dog. I mean, it's like little dogs like that are the most worthless breed of anything that has ever existed. If you've got one of those, I have one too, so I can say that, okay? But this dog doesn't work. It doesn't go kill things. It just eats and, you know, poops in the house. It's a horrible setting for all of us, all right? But, you know, I can get in the floor and play with the dog. I can get in the floor and play with my kid. We were actually in the backyard, and I thought this dog like bit my hand a little too hard, and I thought I could pick this dog up and throw it over the fence, and it could be done. We could be done with this, right? I mean, I could shot put this dog into Miss Janice's yard, and we could be totally done with that. But I showed some meekness, okay? I had the power to do that, okay? But I was controlled in my power. I chose to not do that, and that's what. It's dumb, but that's what meekness is. Meekness is having the power to do something that you keep under control. You have the power, you could do it, but you choose to not do it. Think about being a dad, being a leader, being a husband. What does that look like? Oh, I think, you know, there are times where we have to be careful with the tone that we use. We got to be careful with how we speak to those around us. Though we might have the ability to speak harshly, we might have the ability to get over top of them, and we do it with meekness. We stay under control in the way that we handle our lives, the way we handle those around us. We're gentle, and we're meek. Don't hear those words. If you think those words, you're like, well, I don't want to be a man that's gentle and meek. Well, then you don't want to be a man that's described in the Scriptures. Because the Scriptures describes us as men that are leading well as those that are gentle in the way that we lead and love, and that we are meek. We are under control in the way that we lead and we love. The third thing, lead for the good of those around you, all right? Lead for the good of those around you, not just for the good of yourself, and not really at all for the good of yourself, all right? Marla, you mind going back to Philippians chapter 2? What he says, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition, and you're trying to make yourself better, or vain, empty conceit lies. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Man. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. And think about that as in your marriage and as a dad and in your life. If you started asking every day, there's a huge mirror right here, okay, today. If you started asking, how can I lead and love and serve for the good of those around me better? What if I spend today trying to put my wife in a better place to follow Jesus and to use the gifts God has given her? What if I put my children in a better place to do that? Those that I work with. If I'm working and loving and leading, not for my good, the way this looks is when you become the boss, you don't become the boss that is just spouting out orders all the time and telling everybody what they're supposed to do. When you become the boss, you actually ask this question. All right, now that I'm in this position of influence, how do I use this influence for the good of those around me, not for the good of myself? How do I use the influence that God has given to me, not for me, but for those around me? And then I think when we see ourselves living out, we're going to see ourselves living out Philippians 2 when we do that, whether it's at your house or in your place of business or whatever it is, when you start asking, how do I work and lead and do these things for the good of those around me, not just for my good, not just for how I can get ahead? And you know that's countercultural, right? It's against everything that this world teaches you. It says, step on everybody, do whatever you got to do to get to the top, so that when you get to the top, you'll have the best view and you can tell everybody what to do and you'll be your own boss and it'll all be great. Just again, not found in the Scriptures. We want to lead. When we lead as men of God, we will be men that lead for the good of those around us, not for for the good of us. And when we do all these things, we are leading for the glory of God, not for the glory of ourselves. So make sure we see that. As you lead, lead by following Jesus, lead with gentleness and with meekness, lead for the good of those around you, and ultimately, all these things, we want to be leading for the glory of God. So we like the idea of leading, okay? But the second half of that is very important, to serve, all right? So we lead, and then we serve. And really, we serve by leading, and we lead in serving. I think those all work together really well. But how is it that we should serve, men? Jesus, like Jesus, Philippians 2 again, we need to make ourselves nothing to love and serve those around you. Jesus emptied himself. Even though Jesus, I love this. Verse 6. Jesus, verse 5 says that your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. In verse 6, who being in very nature God, Jesus is God. He did not consider equality with God something that could be grasped. Meaning that Jesus understood that you becoming like God, you becoming like him, is not something you could ever get. All right, you're not going to be able to get that. So how did God make a way? How did Jesus make a way for us to be with the Father? By emptying himself, by making himself nothing. He made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. Being found in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. And Jesus did not say, look, you can do what I say because I said so. No, made himself nothing, take on the form of a servant to serve those that he loved, which is you and I, and we should do the same thing. Jesus made himself nothing for you and I. We should make ourselves nothing to serve those around us. Second thing, is this kind of goes back with what we talked about earlier. And as you serve, man, encourage and empower those around you to be who God has called them to be and use the gifts that God has given them. Encourage one another. Encourage those around you. Empower them. Give them the ability to do the things that God has called them to do. And put others in front of you so that they are empowered and encouraged to be who God has called them to be. Man, if you're married in here, I would tell you, if you are not putting your wives in a place where they're able to succeed, if you're not empowering your wife to be all that God has called her to be, all that God has gifted her to do, you are absolutely missing what Jesus has called you to do as a husband. And dads, if you're not doing that with your children, if you're not trying to raise your children up so that they can be who God's called them to be, use the gifts God's called, figure those things out, and you're missing it. We're missing it when we choose to not empower and encourage those around us. We're missing, and I think you're also missing one of the greatest spiritual blessings that God can give you. And seeing others succeed and seeing others do well and do what God has called them to, I think we miss it, and I miss it too. I'm not just telling you, I miss it big time as well. The third thing I want you to think about in serving is to engage. Engage in the life of your family. Engage in the life of your church. Engage. This is something I have a really hard time doing when I get home. I don't know if you're like me in this. When I get home from a long day of meetings or study or whatever I have going on, I talk on the phone a lot. I love helping people and talking with people. That's a good thing. God lets me do that a lot. But sometimes when I get home, the first thing I do is disengage. Anybody else do that? No, because you're all real good dads. I disengage. I just want to go lay on the bed and not talk to anybody or not hear anything, and I want to just not worry about these things. But when I get home, man, dad's home, right? Dad's home. And so the kids, they want to tell me everything. Jenny wants to talk to me about her day, and I, and the sinful, selfish side of me wants to go, hey, could y'all all just go somewhere else? I want to lay here and think about nothing for a little while, all right? And unfortunately, I would tell you, I've done that too many times. Too many times I've been very selfish in the way that I love my wife and love my kids and haven't engaged with them. And I would encourage you, men, man, engage. Engage with your wives. Engage with your children. Engage with your family. Don't disengage when you... Look, and this is the thing that I have to remind myself on my way home a lot of times, that there's not a more important ministry... As a pastor, there's no more important ministry than those that live in the same house as I do. You are very important to me, all right, and I love you, but you're not more important than my wife and my children, right? And if you ever become that, then you need to call me on that, right? I mean, that's absolutely not what God has called any of us to. So, man, engage, though. Make sure you engage. Don't disengage. Engage in the lives of those around you. Engage in your children's lives. Engage in your spouse's life. Engage in what God has called you to. Last 2 points, real quickly, all right? Oh, and let me go back. I missed a point. Sorry. Engage in the life of your family and engage in the life of your church, all right? I'll jump into this one for a second. If it weren't for the women of the church, every church in America would have shut down decades ago. You understand that? Thank God for women that will do the work of the ministry and do the work of investing in the next generation, loving those around them. Thank you, ladies. Seriously, I thank you. When I think about, here's the thing, here's the troubling thing. I thank God for it, but I think back and I think it was troubling of those churches, because when I was a child, even until really until I got in about the 10th grade, if I were going to list to you spiritual influences in my life, every one of them is a woman. Every one of them is a woman, except for Mike Megason, who led me to the Lord, who was my pastor. Every other, when I think about people that invested in me, I think about Mickey, and I think about Maldine. I think about women, okay? Think about women that were faithfully loving us, loving the next generation, and making a difference, making disciples. And I thank God for that. Thank God for that. I think all the more. I want to do that all the more. Men, all right? Engage in the life of your church. We need you. We need you engaged in the children's ministry. Okay? You're like, that's a woman's job. It's all of our job, all right? We need you engaging with our children, engaging with our students. Engage in the life of the church, all right? I love you. I just wanted to tell you that. I'll go on to my next point. I come back to this church. The next one. Remember this. Remember that God has given you a primary responsibility to lead your family and the next generation to follow Jesus. Don't forget that. Remember that God has given you the primary responsibility. Doesn't mean that your wife doesn't have responsibility. Doesn't mean others don't have responsibility. But you have the primary responsibility to lead your family and the next generation to know and follow Jesus. So, all right, all this said, last point. Don't get lazy. Don't get lazy. When I do a decent amount of marriage counseling, okay? I do premarital counseling, I do marriage counseling, I counsel with family some. And so many times, this right here is what has happened in marriage and in child rearing. And this is true of my own life too, okay? We get lazy. We think we've arrived, our kids have arrived, my marriage is good. We've been married a long time, baby. We got this figured out. No. Get lazy. All right? Get lazy. Men, we quit pursuing to know our wives, to live with her in an understanding way. We quit treating her like a piece of porcelain, fragile. We quit trying to invest in our children and raise them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We just think, man, I've already done that. They've got it. They may have it. Just keep making sure they get it, all right? Don't get lazy. Don't get lazy engaging in your body, the church. Don't get lazy at work. Don't get lazy with your family. Don't get lazy. And when you do get lazy, man, ask the Lord to repent of your sin. Ask the Lord to give you strength to do all God has called you to do. I really believe this about our church. I think there's a great resurgence of men that love their families and want to lead their families to Jesus. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful to see the men. I stand outside and try to greet everybody that comes in. Man, I love seeing dads bringing their kids. One of the greatest blessings for me as a pastor is to see a dad bring his kids to church when his wife isn't here, right? That's phenomenal. Against everything that you see in church so many times. So men, and I'm so proud of you. I'm thankful for you. But don't get lazy, all right? Engage. Be one that empowers as you serve and as you lead others towards Christ. Don't get lazy in those things. Realize you have the primary responsibility in your house and in this community. We have the primary responsibility to make sure that our community, that our families, that our church know Jesus and are following him. And God has given women a great responsibility as well, but I think God has given men a primary responsibility. So let's be faithful to do those things. love those around us, lead those around us, serve those around us, and when we completely jack it up and screw it up, be thankful for the grace of God given to you, get back up, and walk in it again, all right? I want us to bow together for a word of prayer. Man, I love you. I'm thankful for you. I pray that you would be encouraged to be all that God has called you to be. Don't get lazy. Don't miss it. Don't let the pursuit of money or a better job or a higher rank in your job, let those things cloud your mind and miss what God has given you to do, this great gift he's given you. Man, look, I think, man, a super thing maybe to do sometime today with your spouse or with your children or your parents or somebody, if you've been lazy, if you've been lazy in your pursuit of your wife, been lazy in the way you raise your kids, I think a simple conversation to have, a confession to your spouse, your children, to say, look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm lazy sometimes. I'm sorry. 3 hardest phrases to say is, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I love you. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I love you. Will you forgive me? And will you help me? Will you help me do these things that God's called me to? Because I can't do it by myself. Will you help me be this man that God's called me to be? Because I don't really know how to be. It'd be a beautiful conversation for you to have. Trust the Spirit of God to work in our hearts. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Thank you for these that have gathered to worship you. Lord, I pray that these things would be true of us. We'd be men that lead well as we follow Jesus, that serve well as we make much of those around us and do that for the glory of Jesus. And Lord, where we fail, thank you for providing us the ability to, for the grace that comes from you. We get to know that we're forgiven. We want to walk in your Spirit, though, and walk in your light. So, God, I pray now as we respond to your word, Lord, would you show us what you've called us to do, and God, we'd be faithful to do it. Praise things in Jesus' name.